الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In this day and age in which we live in, we collectively as a Muslim Ummah have become very distant from our spirituality. In fact, we have become very distant from our morality, and some of us have become very distant even from our basic humanity, insaniyat. So very briefly, what I want to talk about today is this notion of humanity, which is mentioned in Quran. In other words, what I want to talk about today is Quranic humanism, the idea of humanity which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran, the idea of insaniyat, what it means to be a human according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran. So the first thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran is this ayah, very famous ayah, that ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Ya ayyuhan nas, this is an address to annas. Annas means all of humanity, each and every single human being. So this khitab, this address is to all of humanity, that oh, each and every human. Antum, and this is for taqeed, for those of you who know Arabic, this comes for taqeed, that oh humanity and oh each and every one of you, antumul fuqara'u ilallah, that each and every one of you is ultimately a faqir of Allah subhanahu. Al-Fuqara, you're ultimately Fakir, you're ultimately needy, dependent, muhtaj of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in his azali abadi kalam, pre-eternal, eternal speech, that each and every one of us, each and every human being, is ultimately, penultimately, is dependent, needy, muhtaj on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, this means that to be human is to be needy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have this need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to feel as if I'm needy, I'm dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm muhtaj on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in fact the essence of humanity, to have this need. This is the Quranic concept of humanity. This is to what it means to be a human. What it means to be a human is to possess this need, feel this need. And it's a tragedy that if we look at our society today, we look at Muslims and we don't see this need in them. Either because of secularism, or because of materialism, or because of their spiritual diseases, diseases of the heart, envy, jealousy, hatred, arrogance, anger, takabbur, hirs, kibr, ujub, all of those spiritual diseases which a person has in their heart, because of them, because of these diseases, because of our society, the different philosophies which we are taught and glorified in our universities, we collectively and also individually, we have lost this capacity to view ourselves as needy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to view ourselves as being fakir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, I think we don't feel that need. We analyze our lives today and we look and carefully reflect and ponder, and we'll see in our hearts, right? Our hearts are spiritual hearts, or qalb, will testify and say that we don't need that, we don't feel that need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, as in the best of us, we might go to the Jummah, we might pray 3, 4, 5 times every day, but we can't say that we feel the need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our 24 hours every day. We look at the life of ordinary Muslim, whether it be a university student, or a Muslim corporate professional working in some corporate company? In downtown Montreal, downtown Chicago. And you look into the lives and just analyze the lives, and you'll see that in essence, they're just running a rat race, right? Running a rat race like everyone else out. You open their hearts at 10 a.m. in the morning, you'll find that their hearts are empty of the remembrance of Allah's path. You open their hearts at 12 p.m., the hearts are still empty of the remembrance of Allah's path. You open their hearts at night at 10:30 p.m., still the hearts are empty of the remembrance of Allah's path. No dhikr, no consciousness, no awareness of Allah's path. Very, very little difference actually. Very little difference between the life of a Muslim and a non-Muslim. Whereas the mu'min, the believer, was supposed to be that person whose heart was munawwar with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout his life, right? Throughout each and every second of his life, through each and every aspect of his life, he should be feeling this nur of ma'iyat, nur of closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart should be brightened by this closeness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart should have feelings for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? He should be feeling this need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of his life, 24 hours a day. But we don't have that need. We don't feel that need. And it's very interesting that the word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used in Quran, faqir, al-fuqara, right? Fuqara is the plural of faqir. Now, especially if you go to places like South Asia, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, it's very easy to find such people. As in, we have a category of people called faqir there, right? People who are on the streets, people who are very, they don't have the means to support themselves. And it's a very common phenomena if you go to such countries that you are in your car and you see a faqir outside. And as in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also chosen this word, and there is a reason, there is a hikmah, right? And the reason and the significance of choosing this word is that if you look at a faqir, right? And even as in, it's curious the way that the faqir, not only his dress, right? That also shows his faqir, his need, his dependence. But also in the way he acts, in the way he walks, in the way he talks, all of that, right? He looks like a person who is in need. He looks like a person who is dependent. Even in the way he carries himself, he chooses those words which shows his dependence. He chooses to dress himself in a way which shows his muhtaj, which shows his ihtiyaj, right? Which shows his dependence, his need. And all of any and everything about him reflects this need. That this person is surely and solely this person is needy, right? Now, this also is an indication in ishara here that we as Muslims, we as insaniyat, right? Just the mere fact that we are humans, our humanity lies in recognizing that we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like that person, just like that faqir exhibits its need, right? We also need to be such people who exhibit our need, that we are needy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this person, if a person looks at you, he knows that, look, this person is in need of the ultimate being. This person is in need of the ultimate Lord. He's in need of someone, of that one being. But the way we carry ourselves, the way we walk, the way we talk, we don't reflect that need. We don't carry ourselves, we don't show that we are people who are submitting, that people who are submitted to the one creator, that people who are submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't show that ubudiyah, that slave, that servanthood, that servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, on the contrary, when we walk, when we walk and talk as proud people, free people, independent, intelligent, intellectuals, right? We are proud of our degrees, we are proud of our career, we are proud of our fashion, our design, our clothing, our shoes, the list continues, etc. So this could be as in either because of secularism, materialism, these different philosophies which have glorified themselves, right? Which we are taught in universities, or because of our own spiritual state. Right? Our own spiritual state, our own spiritual diseases, we have lost this attribute of faqr. We have lost this attribute of need. The intense arrogance and pride of a mu'min, it's amazing. Allah, it's amazing the arrogance and pride which a mu'min of today has. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, O humanity, antum, each and every one of you are fuqara, are ultimately needy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So really, as in the first thing which we need to fix on ourselves in order to get this basic attribute of humanity back into our life, right, is to view ourselves as fakir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get this fakir back inside of us. We should beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, O Allah, increase us in our dependence on you, increase us in our need for you. Open us to reality so that we can see this relationship which we are supposed to have with you. Make us need you more than we need anything else in this world. Make us need you, make us crave for you more than any other craving we have in this world. Make us yearn you, right? Increase us in our yearning for you more than any other yearning which we have for anything else in this world. For any other thing, any person, any accomplishment, any attainment, much more than that, Ya Allah, make us need you. Make me fakir of you. This actually is a lost heritage, a lost humanity. And very simply, that mu'min, that person has lost being fakir, has lost their very humanity. Very simple. The second attribute of humanity which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran is also a very strong ayah, very fundamental ayah of our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created jinn, while ins, nor have I created ins, humanity, illa liya'budun, except for my worship, except for my ubudiyya. If you compare this ayah with the previous one, there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had used the word annas, ya ayyuhan nas. Annas means each and every person, people, each and every human being, right? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word ins, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ. Ins means humanity itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that I haven't created humanity itself except for this thing which is called ubudiyya. Ajib. Ubudiyya. Now this is, also we have to be careful about the word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen here. It's not ibadah. Ibadah and ubudiyya, they're two different things. They're two distinct things. Ibadah is what we do, it's formal worship, right? For instance, like the angels, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they do this ibadah 24 hours every day. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't made insan mukallif of this ibadah 24 hours every day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't made insan morally responsible or obliged that he does this ibadah, he prays or does formal ibadah 24 hours a day, daily. But in fact, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obliged a person, has made mandatory for a person, is that he should view himself as ubudiyya. He should view himself as an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get this sifat, this identity of ubudiyya back into his life. And to view himself as an abd 24 hours every day. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mukallaf. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us morally responsible, that we should view ourselves as abdullah. And really, as in, if this is, we should think about this. This is ubudiyya, this is our identity. This is our tag, right? This is our identity. More than I'm a Canadian, I'm an American, I'm a Pakistan, I'm British, more than I'm a Hanafi, Salafi, Sufi, right? Much more. And then all these labels, we should view ourselves that I'm an abd. I'm Abdullah. I'm the servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be drowning in this identity. We should be drenched in this ubudiyya. Yes. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this word, right? Ubudiyya. Now, as in, we in the world which, in this world which we're living in today, we don't have this concept of slavery anymore. The deen of Islam incentivized freeing slaves so that in the Muslim world slavery has ended. But still, as in, the word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen, if you were to look at a parallel, go back in time, go back in history and look at this word, when there was slavery amongst humans, so what was that relationship between an abd and a malik, between a master and a slave? And it was a very simple relationship, that the slave, he lived for his master. The slave used to live for his master. The be-all and the end-all of his existence used to be his master. The be-all and end-all of his life was his master. And Allah SWT is also choosing the same word here, that you, O my servant, O human being, you should make your be-all and end-all of your existence Allah SWT. Think about Allah SWT, this Iman, right? Allah SWT gave us this gift of Iman in order to liberate ourselves. Then take this Iman and liberate yourself from all other shackles, all other chains in this world. But know that you are the slave of Allah SWT. You are the servant of Allah SWT. Right? This is actually a liberation for us. A liberation for us, that we liberate ourselves by this identity of Ubudiyya. By liberate ourselves by this identity of being Abdullah. And liberate ourselves from everything else, all other identities, all other shackles and chains in this world. It's liberation, being Abdullah. And contrary to what many people think, many people have this misconception also, that when they think about Abd, they would think about being slave of Allah. They have this weird notion of that the slavery and something which is very rigid and very difficult and very strict and very hard and stern, right? All these ideas creep into the mind. But no, that's not the case here. This is something completely different. Completely different. Right? And just to show you how different this is and how azim maqam, how azim rag this is to be a slave of Allah SWT, to be an Abdullah. Just the shahada. This itself is a testament to the immense maqam of being an Abdullah. Why? Because in shahada, when we say ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, what are we saying? We are actually testifying to the ubudiyya of Sayyidina Rasulullah. And then we are testifying to the Risalat of Sayyidina Rasulullah. So first, actually, if you look at the words, it's ubudiyya Abdullah and then Rasuluhu. Abduhu wa Rasuluhu. So first we testify to the ubudiyya of Sayyidina Rasulullah. That Prophet Muhammad, he was the servant of Allah SWT, the slave of Allah SWT, and secondly, he was also the Rasul, the messenger of Allah SWT. So this is an aqi azim maqam. How immense a rank this is, that Sayyidina Rasulullah is, in a shahada we say that Sayyidina Rasulullah is Abdullah. And then we say that he is Rasulullah. This actually, if you want to understand what this slavery is, there can be no better way to understand this than knowing that this is actually a slavery of love. Yes. This is a slavery of love. Very simple. Very pure, very clean, very simple. This is a slavery of love. The deeper you fall in love with someone, the more ardent, the more passionate the slave you become. We see this all the time. As in, when you love someone, when you fall in love with someone, then whatever that person tells you to do, you're willing to do that happily. You run to do such things for that person. You're happily and gleefully doing everything and anything for the sake of that person. Why? Because this is a slavery. This is a love relationship. A relationship of love. Which you have for that person. There's a very famous story of a love story in Persian literature about Majnun and Leila, right? And probably the equivalent of that in today's culture would be like the Romeo and Juliet. So what was that story between Majnun and Leila? Majnun was completely head over heels for Leila, right? Completely. All the time thinking about Leila, all the time thinking about how much he loves Leila, all his thoughts were completely occupied with Leila. And just imagine, would any Majnun ever say that Leila, he would address his Leila and say, Leila, I couldn't remember you today. Why? Because I had my exams. Ajib. I couldn't remember you today because I was busy. Or I could only remember you 5 times every day. Will you accept this? Will you accept my love? No, that's ludicrous, right? That's ridiculous. So how can we say that to Allah SWT? That's something to think about. How can we say that to Allah SWT? A dog, if you look at a dog, a jeep animal, he is more loyal to his master than we are to ours. The master throws, whether he throws a stone at him, whether he throws a shoe at him, whether he gives him food, the dog is still loyal to his master. The dog continues to be loyal to his master. And our master, Allah, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And we are so distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire message of Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, O my servants, I love you. All we have to do is to just to learn to reply to that message. We have this SMS from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O my servant, I love you. All we have to do is to reply to that SMS by saying that, Ya Allah, we also love you. We need to learn to answer this, that, O Allah, we love you also. I love you too. This is the greatest honor in the world, to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest honor in the world, to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by that is what Sayyidina Rasulullah mentioned in the hadith, that that person who lowers himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the rank of that person. Whoever humbles himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the rank of that person. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعُ اللَّهِ رَفَعُ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the spiritual rank of that person. This ubudiyah, it's a crown, it's a jewel. It is an honor to be the Abdullah. But again, if you look at the Muslim, the average Muslim today, he doesn't walk and talk and act and view himself as if he is a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is willing to break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the drop of a hat. Little bit of sleep and he'll miss Fajr. In the name of being a good colleague, in the name of being a good university student, he'll look at the woman right straight in the eye. Yes, he'll look at her right in the eye. Even he knows that it's one of the most fundamental, the most easiest verses to understand in Quran. Even the English translation is so easy. Lower your gaze. Crystal clear. No difference of opinion, no difference of opinion among the Ummah about this verse. But he can't do it. Why? Because he's not a slave. Because he doesn't view himself as a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, many of us, we have become slaves to our own nafs. Yes. Many of us have become slaves to our own nafs, and this is in fact why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran that araita man ittakhadha ilahahu hawa, that do not gaze, araita, do not gaze in astonishment and wonder at that person who has taken their own whims, who have taken their own wishes, their desires, their fantasies, their hawa as their ilah, as their god, as their rab. This in fact, you know, is the real shirk. This is the real shirk. To become a slave of your own desires. Even in English, Adam, we have this phrase, right? We say that this is, that he or she is a slave to his desires. And they say it right. Right? They're completely, absolutely right. On the mark. We should always remember that these English poets and philosophers, sometimes their sayings and their words, they have some amount of truth in it. Some amount of truth in it. So then we have this in American English, that there's the some truth, or there's the truth, then there's the whole truth, and there's nothing but the truth. So as far as the whole truth and nothing but the truth is concerned, that a person can only get through wahi, only through revelation. There's no other means to get that. But as far as some truth is concerned, that even these, our English poets and philosophers, they have it right. They have it spot on when they say that we have become slave to our own desires. And this is actually a big problem in a Muslim Ummah. Big problem. Many people come and just have this problem of their desires. They're not able to control their desires. They can't control their desires when either it's physical, they can't control their desires, whether it's cyber, they can't control it virtual, they can't control it. Why? Because they are not, they don't view themselves as Abdullah. Right? Just go back to the human master relationship, the Abd Malik relationship, right? That slave doesn't desire anything against his master's wishes. So this in fact has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this word ubudiyah. It's a very strong word. It's a very strong identity. It's a very incredibly elevated identity and rank. But it also requires us to think. If this is the identity, then what is the life which we are leading? How distant we are from this ideal of humanity, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran. Far away. Very far away. So this fakir and abd, two identities. Right? I'm a fakir, I'm needy, muhtaj of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm an abd, I'm a servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless we can say it, unless we can feel it and live it, we haven't even reached Quranic humanity. Let alone Iman, let alone Islam. Iman is completely something else altogether. We are at the stage where we need to revive first our basic humanity. And this is why, as in for those of you who are studying liberal arts and humanities, will know that this philosophy of secularism, it's ajeeb, as in the way it initially started with something which was different and very skillfully made that evolution. So it's, as in this evolution, it started from a very basic doctrine which espoused that there should be separation between church and state. And very skillfully, it made this evolution from this doctrine into something completely different, where it encouraged an ideology that religion should be taken out from every sphere of public life. And finally, it became into a philosophy known as secular humanism, where nothing is divine. Nothing. So you have this one concept of Quranic humanism, and this completely rival conception of humanity, this secular humanism. And very simple, as in secularism in a nutshell. If you want to understand this in a nutshell, it's exactly this. That, oh insaniyat, oh human beings, you are not fakir, you don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are not abd. You don't need to view yourself as servants and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what secular humanism is. It tries to teach you that you can live a life without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's actually a big mistake to think that me and you, that a person who prays Jummah, he cannot be secular. It's a mistake. Because actually we have this germ of secularism embedded deeply within us. Deeply within us. But zahiran, we might pray and we might say our salah and all the rituals which we are supposed to do, we do it. But if you go deep down and analyze yourself, our morality, our outlook, our temperament, our characteristics, the way we talk, the way we walk, right? It shows it all of these things, it drips of secularism. This ideology of secularism, that we don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we look at university looking students and it's just like acting like American TV characters, right? They look like sitcoms, the way they hang with one another, gel with one another. Why? Because they do it. Why? Because they think it's cool. He's infatuated, he's intoxicated by that culture, that lifestyle, that attitude, that way of talking. Ya Allah. What in the world happened? We had in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ. That verily in the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have the most beautiful example. You have the most noble example. You have the most pristine, pure example. The most perfect example. We had Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're supposed to drown ourselves in the Sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What has happened to us? And it's also a misconception that many people think, that many people don't realize this, that when we lose the Zahir, when we voluntarily choose to divorce ourselves from the Zahir, to leave the Zahir, we also end up losing the Batin. We lose that when we choose to leave the apparent, we also lose the inward sunnahs. And this is very easy to understand. Why? Because our deen, it's full of the Zahir and Batin. We have the Zahir, we have the outward, we also have the inward. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, one is Al-Zahir and the other is Al-Batin, the outward, the manifest and the inner. Even the entire philosophy, the maqsad of Ramadan was to teach us this link, this rupt between Zahir and Batin. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to do in Ramadan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to leave food and drink and lawful relations for those who are married. So these are something which are of the Zahir. And what does a person get? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this hope which is mentioned in Quran, that if a person does this, then la'allakum tattaqoon, then maybe that person will be able to get taqwa. God consciousness, God fear, right? Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is obviously something which is inner, something which is batin. So you see, this is rabt, that when a person does something for in the Zahir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that by doing something in the Zahir, you will be able to get this something which is the core, which is inner. al-batin taqwa. So it's even a, it's surprising that even in the Western world, and all of cosmetic industry, all of neuroscience, all of this, as in all of fashion, cosmetics, neuroscience, psychology, all of it will tell you that the zahir will lead to the batin. And it's only the Muslims that they sometimes think that I don't need the zahir anymore. I've got the batin. I don't need the zahir, I've got the batin. No, actually, this is a delusion. It's a deception of the nafs. It's a deception of shaitan. And we are into this deception. Why? Because we have stopped being fakir and abd. Next. So, these were the two identities of being a human, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Two definitions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran. But there's also another thing which is about iman. What is it to be a person of iman, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned in Quran? And this ayah, very famous ayah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran, ajib ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, the people who are the people of iman. Who are these people? أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ, they are extremely shadeed, they're extremely intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those of us who know Arabic, as in we know this, أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا is actually a darja less than the mu'mineen. Right, mu'mineen is a higher rank than alladhina amanu. Alladhina amanu comes lower than the mu'mineen. So even this low level mu'mineen, low level iman, what's the definition which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in Quran? That these are people who are ashaddu, who are extremely intense, who are intensely extreme in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if you want to know what extremism is, this is real extremism. To have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very, as in this, once again, if we look at our own selves, how far away we are from this attribute of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Let alone as in having this intense, extreme love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of us, we don't even have the basic love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who had this love, it would be very easy for that person to lower his gaze for the sake of Allah. To view the grandeur, the majesty, the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, he would easily lower his gaze for the sake of Allah. And it's very, it's actually a tragedy. As in, we can talk about, we can have a lovely academic lecture on Islam, about many different sciences of Islam, about Arabic, about different fiqh and jurisprudence and all of that, right? But if we don't have this basic attribute of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how far will that take us? How far will our knowledge take us? It's like, just imagine that you have a shiny new BMW. And if you don't put the fuel in that car, if you don't put the fuel in the BMW, it's useless. You won't be able to travel. You won't be able to take that BMW anywhere. So just like that, as in, we need to get this attribute of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala back into our lives. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying himself in Quran that wala tute, very strange, very, very strong ayah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran that wala tute, they do not listen to that person. Man, wala tute man, do not listen to that person. Man aghfalna qalbahu, whose heart we have made empty, and dhikrina of our dhikr, of our remembrance. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in Quran, for all of eternity, for all of humanity, that don't listen, wala tute, don't obey, don't follow, man, that person, aghfalna qalbahu, that we have made empty his heart, and dhikrina from our dhikr, from our remembrance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this in Quran. And our hearts are empty. We don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have love, all types of unlawful love, love for ghairullah in our heart. We love ghairullah. We love images, we love digital pixels more than we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajib. What in the world has happened to us? And just to show you how far we are from this Quranic concept of iman, how far we are from these feelings of iman. So, in the earliest tafsirs, it's mentioned, this is a tafsir by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And his tafsir, which is narrated by Mujahid rahimahullah, So it's mentioned that in the earliest of Sirat al-Din, there's a particular verse in Surah Baqarah where Bani Israel, the Jews, they were called Allazina Amanu twice in the Torah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually called the Jews, the Bani Israel, called them by this khitab, Allazina Amanu, twice in the Torah. And when the Jews heard this khitab, they were so happy. They rejoiced at this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to call them at Allazina Amanu. Why? Because they thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testifying to their iman. And they were so happy that they said something which is mentioned in Surah Baqarah, that Nahnu Abna'ullah. That we are the sons of Allah, we are the beloveds of Allah. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had addressed them by Allazina Amanu twice only in Torah. And in Quran, if we were to do a survey, Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called me and you Allazina Amanu more than 70 times. Allah. More than 70 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to use this phrase Allazina Amanu to address me and you. And this is actually a dress of joy. We should be happy. It's a joy for us, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to testify to our iman. And then don't you see that in this world, if you know someone, right, you believe in him, you believe in his expertise, you address him like that, right? If you know that someone knows economics, you call him an economist. If you know that someone he knows physics, you call him a physicist. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually accepting our iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us by Allazina Amanu, and yet doesn't affect us. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Such a dead, hardened heart of a believer that he hears the word and his heart doesn't rejoice. It's a tragedy, right? It's a tragedy that we have become such heartless moment. So Islam, as in there are three levels to understanding Islam. One is the words of the Quran, right? We need to understand the words, right? But then there are also another level to know the meanings of those words. And then there's also another third level, and this is actually the asal, to know the feelings of those words, to know the feelings behind those meanings. Right? For instance, all of us know, right, when we hear the word inna lil, when we hear this phrase inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, right? Very famous ayah. All of us know the words alhamdulillah. All of us know the meanings inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that verily I am from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and verily unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall I return. We shall return. So now imagine that we don't know the feelings of this word. Imagine that person who's able to live each and every second of his life. Each and every second of his life feeling the haqqaniyat, feeling the reality of this verse. As if I'm submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am a being who is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's feeling these emotions every second of his life. Imagine what a state of existence that would be. What a state of awareness that would be. This is actually the real maqsad Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to send this Quran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give us those feelings. That we should adorn our hearts with those feelings. And this is actually the Sahaba Ikram. They used to take that what's the lesson of those stories which we hear? That Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he took 2 years to learn Surah Baqarah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he took so many years to learn Surah Baqarah. What's the lesson? It wasn't just about the words, right? They were people who were Arabic. They knew the Arabic, right? It wasn't just about the meanings also. They knew the meanings also. So they had those words. They had the meanings. But it's actually getting to understand and inculcate the feelings. The feelings in their heart. To adorning their iman, adorning their Islam, adorning their heart with those feelings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran also. That Ar-Rahman Fas'al bihi khabir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares himself that I am Ar-Rahman. I am the merciful one. And now if you want to know how you should interact, how you should feel, right? How can you become Abdur Rahman, right? How you should feel knowing that your Rabb is Rahman. So what you have to do is Fas'al bihi khabira. You have to go ask somebody. Ask that one who has felt that, who deeply knows that Allah is Ar-Rahman. It is not enough to know that Ar-Rahman means mercy, mercy incarnate or all merciful. No. You have to feel it and you have to live according to those feelings. Ar-Rahman. And we look at how little we have those feelings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just a perfect example of this is, we don't even know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. الله أكبر. ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها. How many of us even know those 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let alone the meanings of those words and let alone the feelings of those names. Feelings of those names. So distant in our iman. So distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine, as if I would give you a parallel example. If I was a professor and I didn't know the names of my students. And the students, they'll say that, look, this professor, he's not interested in me. He's unconcerned. He couldn't care less about me. Why? Because he doesn't even bother to know my name. That's what we are going to be on the Day of Judgment. That, Ya Allah, you said, Lillahi al-Asma'ul Husna. And I couldn't care less. Because I didn't think I really needed that. We don't feel that need. Once again, we don't feel that need. Why? Because we don't view ourselves as fakir. We feel the need to study and do all other things. I'm not saying that don't do all those other things. Do that. But if we don't feel these feelings also, then there's a problem. There's a problem. So we need to increase in our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by knowing more about Him. By knowing more about His name, by knowing more about His sifat. So we need to increase in Allah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by learning about the very famous story of a very famous Shaykh, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. He used to go, he was a big faqih, big jurist, big muhaddis, big mufassir, big mujaddid of his time, great scholar. And he used to go and sit in the company of a person who was a ghair alim, right? Who was not a scholar. His name was Bashar Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala. So, once when Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal used to go, and the students of them, once they got an opportunity to ask Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and said that, oh Imam, that you are a jurist, you are such a big scholar, why do you go and sit in the company of that ghair alim? Why do you go and sit in the company of that ghair alim, who is not a scholar? And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimullah, he gave very ajib reply, very strange reply. It's a reply worth writing with golden ink. He said that, he said in Arabic, so I'll just translate this into English also. He said that, Ana alimun bi kitabillah, that I'm a scholar of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huwa alimun billah, and he has ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, he knows the feelings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I go and sit with him in order to get those feelings. He has the feelings of taqwa. They had the feelings of ikhlas, tawakkul. I want to go and sit in his company in order to get these feelings of ikhlas, in order to get these feelings of tawakkul into my heart. And this is, the Quran is peppered with these feelings, right? You hear about these categories of people in Quran. The muhsineen, the mutawakkileen, the tawabeen, the shakireen, the sabreen, right? Sabr, people of sabr, people of patience, people of gratitude, people of reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People of ihsan, people of excellence, people who loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the muhibbin. All these words you mention in Quran. These are Quranic attributes, these are Quranic words. And me and you, we don't even aspire to get these feelings. Not having it is one thing, but not aspiring it. What in the world happened to us? Ya ayyuhan nas ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. Oh insan, what in the world has deluded you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What in the world has distracted you from your kind and merciful Rabb? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is actually the tragedy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so near to us and we have chosen to become so distant from Him. We have chosen to become so distant from Him. And this is actually the problem, that we are actually unaware of how close Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and how much He desires for us to be close to Him. If only we can learn, if only we can become aware of this, just becoming aware of how close Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to us and how closely and how intimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires us, that itself will be enough for us to go into this path of establishing, increasing our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, as that in itself, those verses in Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about His intimacy, about His love with the believers, intense ayahs, intense verses. For example, Allah says in Quran, Huwa ma'akum aina ma kuntum. that O my believers, huwa ma'akum, wherever you are. Huwa ma'akum, aina ma'akum. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you wherever you are. Huwa ma'akum, He is with you. His ma'iyat is with you. His companionship is with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your companion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is companion wherever you are. Ajib. We like to have these, you have these trips. You take a day trip. And we are on a journey and we have these companion, travel companions. So we should think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I am your travel companion. In this journey of life, which I am your travel companion. I'm close to you wherever you are. In whatever situation you are, either happiness or despair, I am with you. Even when you're sinning, I'm still near you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near that person. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that I'm near to you. I'm not your distant companion. I'm near to you. We like to think that, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we just have this abstract notion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is some distant identity, there's some distant, some abstract notion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Quran, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I'm near to you. I'm your intimate companion. And how near? Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, that I'm near to you than your own very self, than your own jugular brain. I am near to you than your own very self. That's how near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to each and every one of us. That even that person who is sinning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still intimately near to that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting in anticipation that this person will make tawbah and return to him. Waiting in anticipation of that person to return. This is At-Tawwab. This is Ar-Rahim. This is Arhamur Rahimeen. This is Rabbi Kareem. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my servants, remember me. Ya Allah, you are our Rabb. You are our master. It's our duty that we should obey. We should remember you. We shouldn't have to say that in Quran. We should already be doing this. But okay, if a person does this, فَذْكُرُونِي, what does he get? أَذْكُرْكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will remember such a person. You remember me, I will remember you. Allah Akbar. Imagine getting the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becoming that person who is being remembered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Me and you in this worldly life, when we get to hear that, oh, that person X, Y, and Z was remembering you, we feel happy. Oh, wow, that person was remembering me, right? So just imagine that state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembering that person. Allah Akbar. That's such a kind Rabb. All we have to do is to remember him, he'll remember us back. And very also another very strange thing about this remembrance, that when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all of us know that our remembrance is naqis, our remembrance is weak. Because we ourselves are weak people, right? We sometimes forget. We can only remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala limited amount, right? And even then, when we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have so many deficiencies, right? But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any deficiency. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers someone, that person, kamilan mukammalan. It's perfect remembrance. Allah. So this is, we should try to increase in our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase in our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this has a link. The more a person loves someone, the more a person remembers someone, the more a person remembers someone, the love for the person also comes with that person's heart. So these two things are linked together, remembrance and love. So, the last identity which I want to mention tonight, and then inshallah we'll conclude, is that we also need to view ourselves as the Ummati of Sayyidina Rasulullah. This also is another fundamental identity of a Muslim. And this is also something which we have left. We have left the Sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. It's a big misunderstanding. I think this can be a new topic for a different occasion. But I'll just mention this much, that it's a big misunderstanding that we have today. Where we say that, brother, it's just Sunnah. We relegate the rank of the Sunnah by saying just this statement that it's just Sunnah. What in the world What we actually mean by this statement is that, let me just retranslate this, right? What this means is that just relax, it is just a sunnah. It was just a Nabi. Now me and you, can we say that to Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Imagine we going to Medina Munawwara in Masjid Nabi and then telling and saying this to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this is just your sunnah. That Nabi, that Prophet who gave his entire life for us. Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave his entire life for us. What type of ummati are we? He used to make dua for us. Just one word dua. Ummati, 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 ummati. My ummah, my ummah, my ummah. Crying, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, my ummah. What will happen after me to my ummah? You should think about this, that if we abandon the sunnah, the Muslims, quote unquote Muslims, right? The practicing Muslims. If we were to abandon the sunnah, then who else is there outside will pick it up? Who else is there will pick it up? We fancy our cars, we fancy a possession, we love the dunya, right? If someone puts a minute, tiny scratch on my car, on someone's car, we get upset. And we can scratch the sunnah every day and it means nothing to us. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Quran about Sayyidina Rasulullah that he was harisun alaykum. Haris, very strong word. He was crazy about you. Yes, he was mad about you. He had so much fikr about you. He had so much emotions about you. He was thinking about you so much all the time. Harisun alaykum. Then Aki Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Ra'uf Ar-Rahim. That he was very Ra'uf. Means that he was kind and soft and gentle to you. And he was Ar-Rahim, who was merciful, full of mercy towards you. And in fact, as in if you look, these two sifat, these two attributes, these are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being was Ar-Ra'uf Ar-Rahim. But this attribute of being soft and gentleness and being merciful, these were so dominant in Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had them to such an immense level of perfection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to use his own sifat to explain to us that what kind of a Nabi we had. What kind of feelings that Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is choosing his own sifat to explain that relationship. You should think about this. The entire, all of the Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the masterpiece creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Masterpiece creation. Uswatun hasan. Right? As in we have these architects, you want to build a house and you go to an architect and the architect says, wait a second, sir, let me show you my portfolio and then you can decide. So he shows you this portfolio and tells you, this is my best house which you have made. This is my masterpiece creation. Right? So just like that, if you want to see the masterpiece creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. That's the masterpiece creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Much more amazing than the atoms, the subatomic particles, huh? Much more amazing than the black holes and the Milky Way and the galaxies. Infinitely more amazing and infinitely more perfect and beautiful than all of that is one sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. Each and every sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. There is so much depth, there is so much profundity, there is so much beauty in each and every sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. Why? Because it's each and every thing about Sayyidina Rasulullah was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Each and every thing about Sayyidina Rasulullah was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. It has to be beautiful. Because the choosing is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choice is beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choice is perfect. And that's the name, as in even the name of Sayyidina Rasulullah, Al-Mustafa, means the chosen one. Right? Everything about him was chosen. Sayyidina Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His companions, the place where he was born, or everything, his parents, his lineage, his followers, or each and every aspect of the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, it's the most beautiful example for us. Inshallah, we'll end with this note that these are the four identities which we need to bring back into our life, not to revive, not just our humanity, but also not to revive our iman. So the first identity was this identity of being an Abdullah. The first was to be a fakir, to view ourselves as needy and dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second was to view ourselves as being Abdullah, as being servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And third was to increase ourselves in the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become intense lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, right? Ashaddu hubba lillah. To have that shadeed muhabba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last but not the least is to have become a true, loyal, loving follower and ummati of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So very simple, I'll end with this note that many people ask this question, that how good an abd should you be? The answer is very simple. That how good Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as your abd. Be as good a servant and slave to Him as He is a Rabb, a Malik, the Lord and Master of us. Very simple equation to understand. And how good an ummati should you be? As good Nabi as Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to us. Very simple. How much we should follow the Sunnah? As good a Nabi Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to us. If you think that he was a so and so Nabi, we should follow the Sunnah so and so. But we should say it. We shouldn't fool ourselves. We should say it. Say that I think that he was a so and so Nabi. I don't find his Sunnah beautiful. But if you think that everything about Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is beautiful, everything about Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is perfect, then you should also try to inculcate those noble virtues, to inculcate those noble akhlaq, and to inculcate those noble attributes and sunnahs back into our life. So with this, inshallah, we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in His love for Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us and adorn us with all these sifat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran about our insaniyat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive our Quranic humanity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive this attribute of being needy and of viewing ourselves as being needy and dependent on Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive this identity of viewing ourselves as servants, and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in His love for Him, increase us in His yearning for Him, increase us in His desire for Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also increase us in our love for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in our love for following the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in love for following and adorning ourselves with each and every sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah accept this intention from us tonight. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.